Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, your weekly audio guide to all our favourite events happening in and around Oxford. This week I'm going to be talking about Egypt, adventures and crowdfunded music.
I've got Morris dancing, mini tart towers and moody music.
I've got comedy with Dr. Brown, drama with Longwave and some classic anime with Ghost in the Shell.
But going straight over to BBC4 Radio with Natasha, we've got...
Yes, tonight we've got the Women's Hour Band, which actually I didn't find out whether they've got anything to do with Women's Hour, but they're a four-piece indie band based in London. They're a bit Dido meets Haim, and also you could throw in The Corrs, just in the fact that they're four siblings, Fiona on vocals, William on guitar, Nick on bass and Josh on keyboard. Their latest single, Darkest Place, is out now via Love, Love, Love Records.
How much love was that?
Just the three loves. So, and yes, they're going to be at the Cellar tonight. They were originally at the Jericho Tavern, but they've actually just moved to the Cellar. So it's 8 p.m. tonight. It's £10. Timeout called The Moody and Stylish, but NME also gave them 8 out of 10. So should be a really good gig tonight at the Cellar.
Over at the Playhouse tonight until Saturday, Northern Broadsides have brought their Comedy of Manners to the main stage. It's called She Stoops to Conquer, and it's an 18th century comedy, not just of manners, it can also be called a farce, a comedy of errors, a romantic comedy, and satire. All the comedy boxes, it is ticking. No matter what your kind of comedy, it's doing it all. Essentially, there's mischief, there's mayhem, really, really big hair, and really, really outrageous costumes as well. And the play is set in rural Yorkshire, and Northern Broadsides are a Northern-based company, so they're kind of drawing on a lot of these jokes and stereotypes, but not really confronting the sort of class critique in the play. It's very much about the laughs and the sort of visual absurdity. There's also lots of really good songs and dances, because the cast are made of actor musicians, so you'll have some lovely little jigs included as well. It's basically just fun, fun, fun. It's at the Oxford Playhouse until Saturday.
And talking of comedy, this Thursday, rapper turned comedian Doc Brown, not to be confused with the American clown Dr. Brown, will be performing at the Glee Club with his tour show Weird Way Round. Doors are at 6:45 and last entry is at 7:30. So Doc Brown was originally a rapper, so comedy songs do play a really large part in his gigs. What's also quite interesting is that he does a lot of kids' TV. He's currently voicing the character of Mitchell Tanner in Strange Hill High, which is an honour. Actually, really high-calibre comedians are voicing that show. Rich Diawadi plays the sidekick, along with Emma Kennedy as the female Becky Butters.
We need to watch more CBeebies, I think.
Yeah, well, he also created and co-wrote his own show, 4 O'Clock Club. So yeah, if you're into your comedy, your rap, or your kids' TV, maybe consider Doc Brown on Thursday.
Now, tomorrow at the Warnford Chapel, you can go listen to the music of folk and jazz singer and double bass player Susanna Starling. Susanna is known to us at Daily Info as Sue, as she's an ex-employee who worked here for over 10 years and finished just last year. Sue also plays with the Mighty Wurlitzer Band, and they accompany silent films, and I saw them do a gig at the UPP with a 1920-style silent film and them playing the music, and it was really good fun. And she's also played with East Oxford Cabaret Inflatable Buddha. I think they're quite cultish. So currently Sue plays with a band called the Deli Welly Boot Band, and this is going to be their debut gig in Oxford City Centre. They tend to play around in the county a bit more, and she's an extremely accomplished performer and also a great past Daily Info sub-editor. So if you want to give her any work, then we can definitely give you a good reference. So Susanna Starling's gig is at the Warnford Chapel. It's 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Something else that's on tomorrow night, this is Way of the Morris at Albion Beatnik. It's a film by Tim Plester all about Morris dancing and essentially taking him back to his roots, Morris dancing in the countryside. But it sort of takes a bit of a sad turn. It goes all through his childhood in Addenbury and then how the war and industrialisation took young men away from towns like Addenbury, and the whole kind of Morris dancing culture was lost, but now he's refinding it. So that's tomorrow night, Albion Beatnik at 8 p.m. It's £5, and then the DVD of the film actually comes out on Friday as well. So as well as it being sort of this really beautifully shot documentary, it also features a lot of good music. It's got songs from singer-songwriter Billy Bragg and Fairport Convention's Chris Leslie. So yes, really kind of has got great reviews as being really quite sensitive and beautiful, and not too quirkumentary. So not too much as like, oh, I've got this weird interest, let's have a look at it.
It's not making it look niche, it's just commenting on its history.
Yeah, so that should be a really good thing to see tomorrow night.
So I've heard apparently that Morris dancing is a sort of Victorian invention that was created to make us feel all authentic and British and tied to our culture, but in fact isn't actually as kind of related to the distant past as we think. Yeah. But this could just be my boyfriend's conspiracy theory.
Well, it's a good book on it, actually. Ben Anderson's Imagined Communities, about sort of construction of nationalism.
Oh, well, if you're interested in all of these kind of things, you can check them all out.
Or ask Emma for more information.
On a very different note, there's an album launch happening on Thursday. It's Billy Trivers and the Wild West Retirement Home launching what I believe is their debut album at the Library Pub on Cowley Road. And there's free entry from 7:30 with a couple of other bands, and they're an alternative four-piece. I have listened to a bit of their music, and I'd say it sounds a little bit like Modest Mouse around the era of We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank.
Okay, so it's time for our favourite Alice in Wonderland tea party come speakeasy pub. It's the Mad Hatter, and they are launching a new earlier Friday opening time. So they're giving out a lot of new drinks offers. That includes 12 discounted cocktails at £4.50, discounted teapot sharers, got new food on the menu, popcorn, olives, pretzels, mini jam tart towers, which sound amazing, for only £2.95. So there's lots of discounts for this new opening, which is 5 till 8pm. So yeah, get down to there on Friday for the new opening time, and lots of discounted drinks. One of our colleagues at Daily Info here actually recommends trying this little figgy, which is a rosemary-infused Greenall's gin with fig liqueur, apple juice and lime.
If anybody wants to buy Orla a drink, that's what they should get her.
The Mad Hatter has also kindly donated 4 of their cocktail teapots to our freshers competition for their student night, which is on a Thursday. So you can get the chance to win one of those 4 teapots for you and your friends if you enter our freshers competition online.
Also happening on Friday is a performance of Long Wave at the Old Fire Station. This starts at 7:30 and can also be seen later in the year on the 7th of October at the Chipping Norton Theatre. Now, Long Wave is a project by Chris Good, who you might remember from Monkey Bars, which played recently at the North Wall Theatre.
And Stand, which was a co-production with the Oxford Playhouse at the West Oxford Community Centre in June.
Yeah, Chris Good's quite a fan of sort of slightly experimental bits of theatre. So this is a 75-minute show with absolutely no dialogue. The premise is two men are trapped in a shed along with a wireless radio. And in interviews, Chris Good has really described the radio as a third character. I think the sound design for this will be excellent and, you know, really worth seeing.
He's an award-winning theatre maker, so whatever he makes, you should go see. And then feel free to review it on Daily Info. Now, Friday at 5 o'clock at the Oxford Playhouse, you can go to a talk called Crazy for Egypt. This is linked to the Discovering Tutankhamun exhibition at the Ashmolean, which is on until the end of October. And over the past few months, and now until the end of October, there'll be lots of other talks and events linked around their major exhibition, including this one, 5 o'clock Friday at the Oxford Playhouse. Crazy for Egypt will feature the really very lovely art critic Alistair Souk, who's often seen on BBC 4 documentaries, being very, very passionate about contemporary and historical art. He will be in conversation with one of the lead curators from the V&A and also with a professor of archaeology from Southampton University. They're going to be talking about how Egypt and Egyptology has influenced our cultural lives, and that's anything from in TV shows like Doctor Who, films like The Mummy, in books, in art, the whole way that history has affected our cultural life, specifically Egypt. It starts at 5 o'clock, tickets cost £9, and it's got lovely Alistair Souk. It's Crazy for Egypt at the Oxford Playhouse.
I think if you did want to find out about Egypt, it's quite easy to watch.
If you want to find out about anything, watch Alistair Souk. Yeah.
So this Saturday, there's a special screening of Ghost in the Shell, a classic anime film, to mark its 25th anniversary. It's on at the Phoenix up in Jericho at 9pm, and with every ticket, you get a free glass of Jameson and ginger ale.
Nice.
So to tell you a bit about the film, technically, it's absolutely stunning. It's one of the first films that really combines cell shading and CGI. It's one of those films that really works on two levels. So the plot is a sort of techno-thriller. It's about a government agency chasing a threat that they don't really know or understand about. But it's also really quite a philosophical film, raising issues about, you know, the position of technology, really what happens to identity when technology renders it fluid, and also vulnerable to theft, really. Right, so a bit of trivia for you. It's worth seeing even if you don't consider yourself a fan of anime. Now, what tends to happen with animated films is, because they're so cheap and flexible compared to live action, is that directors are really able to take risks. Then sort of 10 years later, Hollywood comes along and takes an idea and turns it into a sort of more marketable film. So recently this happened with Christopher Nolan's Inception, which borrowed very heavily, to the extent of stealing really, from the 2006 anime Paprika. So probably the most famous scene in Inception is the chase down the rotating corridor. And this was actually borrowed from a chase scene in Paprika, which is a recurring dream where a detective is chasing a suspect down a corridor and the corridor begins to melt. So if you've ever seen The Matrix, you might recognise a lot of the really sort of classic elements of The Matrix from Ghost in the Shell. So Ghost in the Shell was the first film really to have sort of a green code falling across the screen, and also the first to really depict plugging into a digital system through the back of the neck. So yeah, if you want to see where the good ideas from the Matrix come from, why not just watch Ghost in the Shell?
You've definitely convinced me to watch more anime now, I think.
Actually, if you're interested, Ghost in the Shell is quite commonly grouped with Akira, so if you fancy doing a double bill, I recommend Akira to go with this one.
Perfect. Okay, also on Saturday night, this is Wingman at the Pegasus. It's on at 7:30. It's a comedy about a father and son reunited after his mother's death. It was at the Fringe earlier this year, and now it's at the Pegasus on Saturday. It's a comedy, even though it starts off quite as a sad premise, really. I believe the father, it's in the name, is trying to be the wingman of the son. So, as you can imagine, some comedy ensues. It's by Richard Marsh, who co-wrote Dirty Great Love Story, which got 5-star reviews by pretty much everyone, and then got transferred to New York. So Wingman should be a really good play. Get along to see it on Saturday night, 7:30. Tickets are £13, £9 for concessions, or £6 for under-18s.
Outside of Oxford at Chipping Norton, the Chipping Norton Theatre and Oxford Touring Company have adapted classic adventure novel Around the World in 80 Days, and they've done this with just 3 actors, making it into a completely madcap spectacle. So the show is a sort of Victorian and steampunk mashup. It's all about the development of transport and wanting to go around the world using steam transport, which sounds crazy back then and sounds a bit crazy now, actually. This has been adapted by Toby Hulse, who's a theatre maker who specialises in clowning and improvisation, so he's really put his hand to this in a great way and really brought his skills to the script. The show has been reviewed saying it really captures the spirit of adventure, and it's really got something for everyone, no matter what age you are as well. So it's not particularly children's theatre, but if it's one of you take along the kids to it, they'll have a really good time. Again, this is also touring in Oxfordshire, so if you can't make it to the Chipping Norton Theatre until Saturday this week, then Around the World in 80 Days will be at the Pegasus Theatre on the 23rd of October and at the Cornerstone in Didcot on the 18th of October. It's getting 4- and 5-star reviews, so if you can't make it now, book quick for those other dates.
So Oxford has been cancelled this weekend, which is really sad, but I think you're going to tell us about what's in its place?
Indeed. So the brand new South Park Festival, Oxford, was cancelled after months of planning and preparation. But local music promoters Pindrop and Tigmas, which stands for This Is Good Music, are gathering together the local Oxford bands who were going to be playing at this festival to make sure that they've still got a gig to go to. So they're hosting a pop-up crowd-funded gig where you pledge in advance. So Tigmas do lots of gigs in and around Oxford, and you're meant to go on their website and pledge £10, so kind of like buying a ticket, so that then bands know kind of their audience size and that they're going to get paid for coming to do this gig. So some of the artists who are meant to be at Oxford and are instead going to be at what's now being branded Tigfest include Flights of Helios, Balloon Ascents, Robot Swans and Count Drachma, featuring Ollie Steadman from Stornoway, who's also been instrumental in arranging this new pop-up festival. You've got to go online to pledge a £10 ticket, or you can go along to the Bullingdon, which is where it's going to be hosted on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. So it's only going to cost a tenner to get in, and all money is going to go to the artists playing, and then some will also go to Audioscope, who fundraise for homeless charity Shelter. So it's all to good causes, and it's a really good way to sort of take what was a kind of disappointing experience of a major festival being cancelled and create something for the community that's got local bands. It kicks off at 2:30 p.m. This is Tigmas. It's at the Bullingdon on Saturday.
I think if you want to be sort of involved in the conversation or just find out on the progress about this, you can use the hashtag Tigfest as well, and people seem to be on that quite a lot, updating what bands are being booked and
exactly
like
it's
that.
A kind so, of group collective yeah, kind of yeah. organizing, so there's no one place to really go, but Twitter probably is the best bet. Now on Sunday there isn't really an event of such, but we are celebrating 50 years of Daily Info, because on the 28th of September in 1964 the first of our printed sheets came out, which nowadays you'll see huge A2 sized yellow, pink, white, green sheets. It started off as a little A4 sheet in the 60s.
Yeah, I was going around the office to try and find the first sheet, take a photo of it for Twitter, and I was looking for a huge sheet, and I was like, where is it? Where's the sheet? And it was this tiny thing on the wall.
It's like a little sort of memo you'd leave on the fridge.
Yeah. My favourite bit about it is the advert for accommodation for £3 a week.
Nice.
Bargain. So in the old days, if you wanted to put an advert on Daily Info, you had to call up and record your advertisement. And helpfully, one of our sheets gives the advice, if you feel a bit shy about speaking to a recording machine, swear at it to begin with or prepare your message in advance. So there you go. We've always been here to help at Daily Info, whether that's with your housing or your anxiety issues. We'll give you advice and tips no matter what you need. Hopefully over the next few weeks and months, we'll be sharing more tidbits of Daily Info history. If you've got any anecdotes or anything you know about the Daily Info's past, then please get in touch and share. You can email us on info@dailyinfo.co.uk. You can post on our Facebook page or tweet us at Daily Info Oxford.
On Tuesday night at the Tell Street Kitchen, there's an event called The Editor Uncovered, which is being put on by SYP, the Society of Young Publishers. They've got a panel of editors who are going to be talking about their work and giving kind of an insight into the world of Oxford publishing. Yeah, so sort of tips, and you can chat to them, find out anything you might want to know about the world of editing. The panel is Rachel Turner, who's the assistant editor at Heart Publishing, Nicole Patel, who's the publishing editor at Taylor & Francis, and Holly Bathy, the development editor at the OUP. They're going to be providing food, wine, and lots of great vibes, apparently. This is their thing. So it should be a really great evening. It starts at 6:30, goes on till 8 on Tuesday, and it costs £3. Also, SYP have a lot of regular social events in Oxford, book clubs. They've got a pub crawl coming up as well. So check out their website for all their upcoming events. But yes, get down to the Tell Street Kitchen on Tuesday.
Now, again, for something which isn't really an event, but something worth knowing about, the Chester Arms has opened again, which is a pub that was taken over earlier this year and has just reopened kind of a couple of weeks ago. Opening times at the moment are Thursdays and Fridays, 5 till 11, and Saturdays and Sundays, 10 till 11. The kitchen's going to be opening in early October, but for now there's hog roasts on Sundays. The Chester's been taken over by a team of kind of bar and restaurant managers who were involved in the running of Oxfork, the Rusty Bicycle and the Port Mahon. So if you like or have liked in the past any of those venues, then that kind of gives you the vibe of what the Chester's going to be like. It's a really nice new residential pub, and it was a good music venue in the past, so they might be bringing that in too. There's some lovely decking as well, so if you want to enjoy the end of the Indian summer, then they're a good place to check out.
In their opening night, the decking came into quite a lot of use. It looked like a really great sort of opening. They had the hog roast and people sat on the decking.
People have been really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
so
check
go
out
now.
The decking.
That's all the events we've got time for in our Oxcast this week, but we'll be back next Wednesday with the next 7 days worth of events in Oxford.
Check out our freshers competition on the website. It's on the homepage, and enter that for some great prizes.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, and search our Facebook page if you want to comment there. Just search for Daily Info Oxford.